This is Phil Ferrand.
And I am driving home. It's episode 163, and I think I'm driving home, but I'm not actually sure. We will see how this goes. I'm going to turn the air conditioner on because it's a little warm today. We're getting in, you know, starting to approach those summer months, so we're going to start getting into some warmer weather. My dad has been complaining of his heart racing in the evenings, but he's been claiming that it's just gas. He said, you know, he feels like he has this pressure, and then when he burps, then it's fine, and his heart settles right down, and there's no problem. And he hasn't been feeling well progressively over the last several weeks. And my wife was talking to him today and trying to get in touch with them. And she called the hospital or called the doctor, somebody. And the doctor says, you need to get him into the ER now because it may be that he's having heart water accumulate on his heart. So she's over there, I guess, picking them up and taking them down. She called me about 3:30. She was going to be doing that. So I've been trying to get in touch with her and haven't been able to get in touch with her. So I'm not really sure what's going on there, and I'm not really sure which hospital they're going to. I say all that to say I'm actually waiting on a phone call, and depending on what that phone call says, I may be heading south to a hospital, or I may be heading on home. I don't know. So I don't know if I'm driving home. I'm not sure where I'm going to be driving, but most likely this is going to get interrupted with a phone call from her, and then we'll know better what we're doing. It's very exciting. Let's see, it's been a good week. Got a lot of good things accomplished at my major client. Got a lot of good writing done as well. I'm in the process of finishing up the chapter that comes right after Jesus dies. It's called Aftershocks. And I was a little concerned about the chapter because it wasn't really landing anywhere, but last night I figured out where it should land, and so that's going to go good. It means I'll have to do a little bit of rewrite with some previous stuff, but that's okay. It's going to land in a nice spot. So anyways, that's going well. Who knows, this weekend, depending on what happens this weekend, I should be able to get that chapter finished, and then on to the last chapter of the book, which is called The Reckoning. And then I will have the rough draft in. Yay! It looks like this book is going to land somewhere around 180, 190 pages, and it was only supposed to be 80. So I am going to take another pass back through it and start cutting stuff out. But, you know, it's the big book of the series, so if we end up at 190 pages, it's not going to be the end of the world. Anyway, so there's that. I did have one of those fun experiences last night. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do the podcast on. I have been reading a book called You Are Not So Smart. It has a ton of really interesting stuff in it. And I was going to be probably doing something on that book, at least one podcast, if not multiple podcasts, because the way the book is set up, chapters are fairly short, and each one is about some other problem in the way we approach life. And I'm trying to remember some of them now, but I'll just wait, and I'll just do several at a time. It's very interesting. My buddy was reading it, listening to it on an audiobook, and he recommended it, and so it's been very good. But I haven't finished the book yet, so I thought, well, what am I going to do? I was, as last night, as I was sort of reviewing some other bookmarks that I had made with other articles that I thought were interesting. Nothing really kind of set my fancy. And it's interesting because as Wednesday night goes along, then, of course, I start getting more sluggish mentally because Wednesday is my fast day. So by the time it was 9 o'clock-ish, my brain has started to get pretty sluggish. And I'm trying to come up with something to do for the podcast. And I'm just, nothing is clicking. And this little thought comes to me, you know, you could just be writing. And I thought, yeah, I could do that. But then I wouldn't know what I'm doing tomorrow. And the thought came to me, you know, you should just not sweat it. Don't sweat it, just write. So finally I did, about, I don't know, 9:45. I thought, okay, fine. So I just kind of bailed on looking for something for the podcast and then went over and write and actually figured out where I wanted to land the chapter. And as I was getting ready for bed, a few more ideas were coming and I was scribbling on the back of an envelope because I don't like to lose those things when they come. So scribbling on the back of an envelope. And then this morning I took the envelope downstairs and I was doing a little entry. And I did just pop open Google News again and then came across this story that just showed up today. And as soon as I started reading it, I said, okay, well, I've kind of talked about this before, but I should do my part for the country and I should talk about it again. So, I'm going to do that. HBO is going to have a series of episodes, a documentary in four parts on Monday night and on Tuesday night called The Weight of the Nation. And it looks like I was bemoaning the fact a little bit that I wasn't going to be able to watch it because we do not have cable. Because I don't like to spend more than 15 seconds figuring out that there's nothing to watch. And typically, I don't channel surf anyways, because we just use our media center to record the shows we want to watch. And then we just watch them when we want to and zip the commercials. We like this a lot. So we don't really have a need for cable. And we certainly don't have a need for satellite, because then it would take us hours to figure out that there's nothing on as we channel surf around on that. So I was bemoaning the fact that it didn't look like I was going to be able to watch these HBO specials. When I went to HBO, you can find these at hbo.com/theweightofthenation. Or I believe you can find it at theweightofthenation.hbo.com as well. And lo and behold, if they aren't going to have the full episodes available for watching over the webs. So maybe I'll wait until the evening sometime and actually watch these episodes. But I did watch the trailer, and the trailer looks really good. And HBO has done this big documentary on the cost and the impact of having a nation that is rapidly becoming obese in terms of its majority. We are soon going to be an obese nation. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. And one of the big things that they're talking about in this episode is how obesity is an epidemic, and it is perhaps America's biggest health problem. And so it looks like it's going to be a pretty interesting documentary. The review I was reading were saying that it really pulls no punches, spares neither the multi-billion-dollar food industry and advertising industry nor public officials for not only failing to fix the problem, but actually making it worse and essentially writing a prescription for the nation's health and economic future that we ignore to our peril. It's interesting because they and the guy reviewing, he's quoting some of the things they talk about in this documentary, and they say one of the things that's really unfortunate about this is that it's completely preventable. They said this isn't like some kind of act of nature. They said this is not the product of a tsunami. We actually have, right now, more than two-thirds of adults are overweight. At this point, only a third of adults are obese. However, we also have a third of our children and adolescents that are overweight at this point. And 18%, almost one in five, are obese. So obviously, if this trend continues, it's not going to be too long before the majority of people in America are not just overweight, which we're already there now, but are obese. We will be an obese nation. And what they're saying is that right now, obesity contributes to 5 out of the 10 leading causes of death in America. It costs businesses $73 billion a year. It adds $150 billion to healthcare costs now and may hit $300 billion in health costs, billion with a B, by 2018. So obviously, this is a non-trivial problem. So they talk about the fact, okay, well, how did we get here? Well, I've talked about this before. How did we get here? And one of the men who, Dr. Kelly Brown, not sure if that's a man or a woman, talks about the fact that what's brought us here is a cheap food policy. Because the cheapest food is also the least healthy. This category includes all kinds of packaged and processed foods, and it also includes fast foods, which, in their words, have become the plaque-building lifeblood of the American diet. What's interesting is they're saying that these types of foods constitute 40 to 50% of the foods that are consumed by kids at school. And school cafeterias, which have to be financially self-sufficient, have to push these unhealthy packaged foods at kids. In addition, we have the soft drink industry, who of course uses all sorts of advertising to push interest in soft drinks. And they said that 1/4 of American teens drink an average of 4 sodas a day, which is the equivalent of an entire extra meal in terms of calories. The software companies, according to this special, have a 90% profit margin on their products, and they spend millions on hyperactive advertising. And they say as well, people think, oh, juice would be good for you. In fact, juice is not good for you. Fruit juice is not any better, because once you take that fruit and you strip all the fiber out of it, basically, all you're left with is fructose. And while it may have a few extra vitamins in terms of its health impact, you might as well just be drinking soda, because you don't have any fiber in it. They were saying that there was a landmark study that was done in Louisiana. It was launched 40 years ago, that followed overweight kids through adulthood to monitor their health. And that study was key in proving that cardiovascular disease begins in childhood. That obese kids today are already beset with health problems that are facing obese 25-year-olds. In other words, we've got a situation now where kids are obese in childhood, and they carry that obesity through in their teen years and young adulthood, and we're seeing diseases that we used to confine to older age adults, like adult onset diabetes, and we're seeing them come earlier and earlier and earlier. And in fact, there has been an alarming rise in the amount of quote-unquote adult onset diabetes, also known as type 2 diabetes, in children, because they are consuming so much processed sugar, so much processed food, so much fructose. So, here we go. There have been some interesting estimates. For instance, the Susan Combs, the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts, has actually estimated that this problem of obesity is going to cost private employers just in Texas an extra $30 billion a year. And so she's trying to start health programs to say, look, we need to get kids into exercise programs in high schools and in elementary schools and get this problem under control. One of the things that they point to show how bad this problem is becoming is that today's adults are going to make up the first generation in U.S. history whose children will have a shorter life expectancy than their own. That's how much of a problem obesity is becoming in this nation. Now then, it's interesting because when I read this next part, I thought, well, you know, that's really true. HBO actually goes after the diet industry too in this special. And it says that one of the authors of people that they quote, Susan Yeager, and she's the author of The 100-Year Diet, says bluntly, the diet industry has no reason to solve the problem. Solving the problem puts them out of business, which is an interesting take. So in this, then, of course, HBO is trying to provide some solutions, and they're saying, okay, but what's the solution to all this? This is where, when I read this, I went, oh, no, I don't think that's quite right. Because they said, well, first of all, believe it or not, losing weight is relatively easy. I don't think it is. Because I've been around people who have really tried to lose weight. I don't think over the years I have come to appreciate that people who are obese and trying to lose weight are in basically the same situation that alcoholics are in, or people who smoke cigarettes. It really is that difficult, and we need to employ all the same techniques to help people who are overweight, because it is hard, from what I've observed. Well, it's not hard to lose the weight, it's hard to keep it off. Just like it's not that hard for an alcoholic to stop drinking, it's really hard, though, for him to not start drinking again. And I think people who are obese and overweight really are in exactly the same situation. Now, they talk about mindful eating, that you really need to be mindful of what you're putting in your mouth. You need to take care not to eat a lot of processed foods. You know, that's all true. That's true. But a lot of that stuff is just going to go in the brain, and the flesh is going to go, oh yeah, that's the truth. And then as soon as it turns around, it'll go, but I would really like a cookie. I would really like some chips. I mean, because that's what the flesh is going to do on this. Once it's got its heels in on a particular thing, be it food, be it alcohol, be it cigarettes, be it sex, be it drugs, any of those things, it's going to keep its heels on, and it's going to do its best not to let that person get loose. I'm getting my mail. One moment. Okay, we're good. But in this section where they're talking about this mindful eating and being aware, what's interesting is they did come up with a pretty fascinating quote. And the quote was, mindful eating is one way to address, well, several elephants in the room, including the fact that the food industry is heavily subsidized to produce foods that aren't all that healthy for you. What that means is that those foods, wheat, sugar, soy, and corn, are not only very abundant, but also that their cost in the checkout line is artificially low because they're subsidized, while fruits and vegetables, which are not directly subsidized, make up only about 3% of the planted cropland in the United States, and they are more expensive. In other words, still quoting, the American taxpayer is shelling out billions of dollars to support the production of food whose ready availability and low price will end up costing us billions more in added healthcare expenses in the future. This sounds to me exactly like the flesh. This sounds exactly like the flesh. Because this is so typical of the activities of destruction. Anyways, so they did come up with something that I went, yeah, when they said to some participants in the HBO documentary, The Battle for a Healthier Diet and an Increase in Public Awareness About the Physical and Financial Costs of Our National Weight Crisis aren't dissimilar to the decades-long battle against the tobacco industry. And that's absolutely true. Obesity is going to be just as hard to beat as smoking addiction and alcoholism and all of those things. Now then, lest I not provide due diligence on this, I can tell you what their solution is, that the effective ways to lose weight are take small steps in your diet, set realistic goals for yourself, get support from others who are trying to lose weight, focus on portion control, plan and structure your meals, and monitor your caloric intake. Okay, yeah, but I don't, you know, I've been around enough people who are struggling with their weight that they can read that list all day long. And it's not going to make any difference. And the reason it's not going to make any difference is because the flesh is so good about digging in its heels and distracting people and keeping them from seeing what's happening. It's so good about saying, oh yeah, tomorrow. You can do that tomorrow. Right now. Want some chips? Want cookies? Want that stuff? You know, it was interesting. I was doing a little experiment this last week because I've been trying to exercise twice a day, trying to break a sweat twice a day. And I started having more corn chips because I love the corn chips. I've mentioned that before. Starting having more corn chips. And for a while there, it was going fine. You know, I could have a few corn chips and my weight didn't seem to be affected. And so I thinks to myself, well, let's just find out. So last Thursday night, I just sort of opened up the throttle. Oh, you know what? Let me pause and take this and I'll be right back with you. Okay, the neighbor gal next door needs some dog treats. So I got to go get them. There's a whole other story with that. Our neighbors lost one of their little ponies that they had gotten this morning. I found it, so she was calling me about that, but she needs dog treats. I'll be right back. Okay, so got the dog treats delivered. Just quick story there. My new neighbors that had moved in, he had put up this beautiful fence and he's got horses out there. It's really cool. It's nice, not really nice addition to the area. He's been getting some little ponies, and I came back from my walk yesterday. Today, came back and one of the little ponies was down, obviously in distress, and so I called them and he said, yeah, we've been having some troubles with the pony. And so then by the time I got back out there to check on the pony again, the pony was dead. And so, you know, that's kind of sad. So anyways, their daughter was over there, and so I was talking to her, and then she needed some extra dog treats to give their dog, so I got them taken care of. In the meantime, my wife also called. Been a little bit of a frantic podcast this time. My wife also called and she said they've done an EKG on my dad. That looks fine. They're doing oxygen for him. They did a blood test. They're waiting for some results. She said at this point he's not really in any distress. Who knows, it may be gas, but he hasn't been feeling well for a while. So they decided, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to get checked out. So I am proceeding as normal. Anyways, to wrap this up, so yes, obesity is a problem. This podcast is simply to try to disseminate awareness and also to say HBO is going to have this special. And even if you don't have cable, you will be able to go to HBO.com/The Weight of the Nation to, it looks like you'll be able to watch the full thing right online. And I would recommend it to everyone because it looks like it's going to be really, really good. But ultimately, as far as I'm concerned, obesity is something that has to be attacked with the same level of commitment and the same determination as smoking, as alcoholism, as drug use, any of those things, because it is something that gets a hold of the person and it's something that the flesh can use to just drive them into destruction, albeit slower than drug use, slower than smoking, but just as deadly. And so it really takes a concerted effort on the part of the person who's trying to get free of that. And certainly it takes good friends to be in relationship with them. And it takes the person deciding and deciding every day the change has to happen now, not tomorrow, now. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.